I listened to an interview by Nancy Allen. She is a professional harpist. She plays for the New York Symphony, and she gave a talk on what it's like to play a harp and all the aspects of a harp. And a harp, well, it's like the body of a piano, only it's set upright, and the harpist will lean it back on their shoulder and play the strings of the harp.
Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale, British Columbia. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and I hope that you will stay tuned with us today as we look at the sights and sounds of heaven, Revelation chapter 14. We have the sight of the Lamb who stood on Mount Zion, the 144,000 who sing and praise the Lamb. Their shout is a glorious one, because they say, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And in this message today, we will learn of the glory and the security of the saints. The gospel security is a wonderful theme. Stay tuned as we let the Bible speak.
Amen, and you may be seated. We are going to the book of Revelation tonight again, to chapter 14. Chapter 14. Now, sometimes preachers get surprised, and sometimes we're surprised at ourselves, because there was one Sunday evening that I preached four chapters of Revelation all in one. That was when we dealt with the seven trumpets. And then in chapter 12, we did a whole chapter in one go. We dealt with the wrath of the devil. And then last week, probably the deepest, darkest chapter of the book, we covered in one meeting. But tonight, we're only going to get into a few verses. So we're going to read together verses 1 to 7 of chapter 14. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters.
We're going now to the pulpit ministry of our church here in Cloverdale.
One who's trusting in the Lamb. And if your hope tonight is in the Lord Jesus, He is keeping you. Even in martyrdom, think of Stephen. When they were ready to hurl stones at his head, he was able to pray as a martyr, calling upon God and saying, "Lord, receive my spirit." And as he laid down his life, he was kept. And of course, he saw the living Christ standing at the right hand of God. And Stephen went straight to heaven. So even martyrs are safe. As we go into verse 2, the second thing that the Christian keeps is that we keep our song. I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song. Now, I have referred a number of times to the sights and sounds of heaven. And here in verse 2, we are given to hear and see one of the sweetest sounds that the human ear can ever hear. Notice it's a voice from heaven, and it's the voice of harpers harping with their harps. Now, you know that the harp is the instrument of heaven. I listened to an interview by Nancy Allen. She is a professional harpist. She plays for the New York Symphony, and she gave a talk on what it's like to play a harp and all the aspects of a harp. And a harp, well, it's like the body of a piano, only it's set upright. And the harpist will lean it back on their shoulder and play the strings of the harp. There is not only the strings and their vibrations, but there is a mechanical aspect to a harp. And this harpist explained that there are 2,000 moving mechanical parts in a harp. There are a number of pedals. Each one of them have their different positions, and they stretch the strings to give them a different pitch. The difference between a harp and a piano that is that it uses what she called gut or nylon strings, not so much metal. When you play a piano, it can sound a little tinny and sharp to the ear. The harp has a soft, warm, welcoming sound. She also explained that a harpist plays with the pads of her fingers, and it's the softness of her fingers that gives that unique tone to the harp. And then I thought, every harpist I know is a woman. They must be the nearest thing on earth to angels. And so they are given to play the harp. But if a harpist practices too much and wears the skin or gets hardened finger pads, it changes the tone so that it becomes raspy and rough. And so a harpist needs to take great care of her fingers, or if there be men, his fingers, that they give that special tone. The strings are color-coded, and they are very often used in a symphony or an orchestra to give that complementary sound or tune. Now, what we get here is a tremendous volume of harpists harping on their harps. And it must be the most charming, welcoming sound of heaven. But that's only the backup instrument. The saints sing the new song. The song that only the redeemed can sing. You do not read here in verse 3 of the beasts, those living creatures who earlier were called the song leaders. They're not singing. You do not read here of angels singing because they were never redeemed. An angel has never been washed in the blood of Jesus. All the fallen angels are lost. They are never saved. There's no such thing as a saved angel unless they're saved from some danger, but they're not saved from hell. But you and I are. And we will join that great eternal company with 144,000 to sing the song of the redeemed that no other man, unredeemed person, can ever sing. Tonight, can you sing? You'll notice that our hymns tonight were about the blood, being washed in the blood. Could you sing them with all your heart? Boys and girls, I'm looking at you right now. Can you sing those hymns with all your heart that you have asked the Lord Jesus to wash you from your sin? If that does not happen, you'll never be in heaven. Heaven is only for blood-washed saints. And you need to ask the Lord Jesus to wash you, to cleanse you, and to make you ready for heaven. And that's the mark of eternal life upon you, when you delight in being washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you saved? Are you sure of it? Are you going to join the redeemed? Now we move to number 3, and we see here in chapter 7 that they keep their position before the throne. Sorry, did I say chapter 7? Chapter 14, verse 3, and they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne. Right up there before the throne. And they're still there. All those who have endured persecution of Satan, the beast, and the other beast, they're all before the throne. And our standing with God is secure. We are right there. And of course, the Lord Jesus intercedes for us right there before the throne. Number 4, verse 4, they keep their purity. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. One of Satan's greatest tools is uncleanness. One of his chief weapons to destroy souls is to lead men and women, if I can get this thing right, to lead men and women into sexual sin. And that's how the devil is working today. We have to be realists. If there's one way that the devil can destroy souls, it is to fill their heart and body with lust, passion for sex. I'm going to be bold and brazen. And that is happening all around us. And the power of the gospel is to deliver men and women from all forms of immorality and sin. And of course, that's the power of the blood of Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 6:11, we read of a whole list of perverted lifestyles, sinful lifestyles that were taking place in the city of Corinth. And the apostle said, "Such were some of you, but ye are washed." You're washed. And of course, that's the power of the gospel, to give men and women, young people, the victory over sin to live a pure life. And that is a mighty triumph in these days. When young people go to school, the pressure to listen to the hellish jokes and messages of sin are very powerful and polluting. And many succumb and go the way of uncleanness. Now, the Bible gives no assurance of salvation to a perpetual sinner. There is no peace with God for someone who lives in uncleanness. In 2 Timothy 2:22, the command is, "Flee youthful lusts." How can you do that? Through the Lord, through the gospel, through victory in the Lord Jesus. And really, when you study the book of Jude, when it talks about the ungodly and the fleshly lusts that are listed in that little book, preaching the gospel is really preaching to deliver souls from the fire of the impure lifestyle. I praise God, it ends, the book of Jude ends, "Unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you perfect before God." That is the power of the gospel. And I read here in Revelation 14 that these Christians keep their purity. Also in verse 4, I notice that they keep their discipleship. "They are they which are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth." Christians never stop following the Lamb. They are addicted to Christ. They are attracted to Christ. And they are willing to follow, to endure, to suffer, even unto death. This is the calling, this effectual call, whereby the shepherd calls his sheep and they follow him. You think of it tonight. What has the Lord done to us? We're willing to bear the shame, the reproach of the cross. We're willing to become the mockery, the offscouring of the world. And we've decided to follow Jesus, no matter what men think or say. And that's the mark of discipleship. A woman said to me this week, "I have a fear that I'm going to fail the Lord, that I'm going to let him down." And this woman has lived for God many years, but she does not want to give up, surrender, slow down, appear to be less loyal or less a disciple than ever she has been before. What has the Lord done to us? He has put within our hearts this spirit of discipleship, the call to follow, counting not the cost. Number 6, Christians keep their testimony. When you read down there at the end of verse 4, "These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and to the Lamb. Now, the firstfruit, that really comes from Pentecost, where the corn sheaf in its green form was brought in and presented to the Lord. It was the precursor of the harvest, the first fruit. And when a Christian is converted and saved, we are not yet in heaven, but we are the first fruits. We have now the testimony of living for the Lord. Number 7 is in verse 5, and in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And there you learn that Christians keep their justification without fault before the throne of God. And when you come to Christ, you are justified. You are declared righteous, just as if you'd never sinned. Christ's work makes you to be without fault and without condemnation. And when we get to heaven, we will stand before the throne. And even with the glory of God that will shine from that throne, we will stand perfectly righteous, with no sin, no spot, without fault before the throne. One more thing that the Christian keeps, and I want to take it down to verse 13 for this one, that is, they keep their rewards. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. What works are these? Well, if you go back to verse 12, you will see that the patience of the saints, here are they that keep the commandments of God. These are works. Throwing away idols, worshiping God only, avoiding blasphemy of God's name, avoiding making any image of anything, remembering the Sabbath day to keep it holy, honoring parents, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And as you live the Christian life, your works shine. By your works shall men know that you're the children of God. And what they do on earth follows them into heaven. It's no vain thing to serve the Lord. The Apostle Paul said in that great chapter of the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15, therefore, my beloved, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so the Christian can lay up treasure in heaven by his service and by your sacrifice, by your worship, by your faithfulness. You cannot take your houses nor any land to heaven, but you can take your service for Christ. What is done in Jesus' name will follow you to heaven. You cannot take gold or silver, but you can take the fruit of righteous living. Your works will follow you. They will be before God. You will hear the pronouncement, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And so it is never vain to serve the Lord. We learned already today about those that follow after the things that perish, the meat that perisheth. We are pursuing the meat that endureth to eternal life. Faith in Christ, discipleship to Christ, loyalty to Christ, serving his church, his body, honoring his name, keeping his commandments. By these means, we shall stand before God in heaven. And so what a great encouragement that you cannot lose your soul. You cannot lose your service for God. Only what's done for Jesus will last. And you will be presented before God spotless. That's the hope that is set before us in this chapter of God's Word. Chapter 14 is the eternal state before the throne, before God, in his presence. And we keep all of these eight things. Now, the rest of the chapter is the things that we escape. The mark of the beast, one of them. And we'll deal with that, Lord willing, next week. But tonight, let us take heart in the things, the profit that we have in. Be listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. And I hope that today that you have been encouraged here as we've looked at Revelation 14. We will continue this in our next message, and I hope that God will give you a hunger for the glories of heaven. Hear these opening words, "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having the Father's name written in their forehead." That ought to excite every Christian and stir our hearts to worship him. I hope that you are a worshiper of the Lord Jesus and that you are looking forward to that glorious day when we shall see the King in his glory. Until that day, Maranatha. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I want to thank you for joining with us as we've brought the message of God's Word today from Revelation chapter 14. What's on here at the Free Presbyterian Church? Well, these Sundays leading up to Easter, I'll be preaching a series on the seven sayings of the Savior from the cross. These are the utterances of Christ in his agony as he redeemed his people while upon that cruel cross. It is a series that gets to the very heart of the gospel. It focuses upon the man of Calvary in his death. And I hope that you can join with us here at our church, at the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale on the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our Sunday morning services are at 10:30 p.m. Also, we have our evening service when I'm continuing on in the book of Revelation. And these weeks I'm dealing with the closing chapters, the wonderful sights and sounds of heaven. Join us here for our Sunday services at the Free Presbyterian Church, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Also, you can join us on our webcast. If you're unable to join in person, you can go to your computer and log in through cloverdalefpc.ca. Just hit the red button when it turns live now, and you'll be right into our services here at the Free Presbyterian Church. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. I do thank you for joining with us. Do go to the website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca, for all the information concerning our church and radio ministry.